All right, everybody, welcome to another week of the Doe and 5-0 show. Welcome to sunny, beautiful northern Indiana. Joe, you liking this summer-like atmosphere so far?
I do. Actually, I like it better than I like the heat, so I'm okay with it.
Got a little muggy out today.
A little muggy, yes.
As we're recording the show this week,
it's raining.
I'm a little worried that we're going to blow away in the garage that we shoot this show in. It's getting pretty ugly out there. We'll see what happens. This might be the last ever show, which will not break anyone's heart. So.
for the both of you that watch this,
all two of you, God love you. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the headlines this week. We're going to go ahead and talk about. This one was quite comical to me. We're going to talk about the driver that tried to jump closed bridge during a police pursuit, and he left behind his prosthetic leg. Talk about a piece of evidence.
What a piece of shit.
Out of Indianapolis, IMPD, are searching for a driver who tried to jump a bridge Dukes of Hazzard style. This isn't Hollywood, so it didn't turn out too well. Officers say they encountered a reckless driver Sunday night, and he almost hit an IMPD cruiser head-on. The driver refused to stop and led officers on a chase to 38th Street, just west of Shadeland Avenue, where their bridge is out. He ignored signs and warnings and attempted to drive across the bridge, but his vehicle skidded and came to a rest as it hit the exposed beams. The driver then exited the vehicle and fled on foot. Officers arrested the passenger. The passenger was supposed to be on house arrest, but he cut off his ankle monitor. They hang out together.
Of course they
do. The passenger told police the driver is a one-legged man and he left his prosthetic leg behind. Police are confident that they will be able to track the man down and match the leg to his body.
Okay, first of all, he probably has more than one leg, so that's not going to help. But so he got out of the car with only one leg?
Correct.
And he got away?
He got away. Must be a pretty good fast hopper. I don't know.
I'm thinking it's more a problem with the police department.
Well, I mean,
they can't be that quick.
I don't know the whole story. It didn't go into great detail about the pursuit or anything, so I don't know how far behind they may have been or hard it was to get to him if the bridge was closed off and flooded. But
we could just make up.
We could.
They got the passenger.
They did get the passenger. I don't know how the guy got away.
He couldn't get away. He had both legs, but he got caught. All right.
Yeah, maybe he had one of those Iron Man backpack things, then he just shot off into the air, and he went so fast that the leg was just left behind. I don't know.
You're getting a little punchy, aren't you?
It's been a long day.
It's been a long afternoon.
Touching something, I'm going to be a little close home to you, Joe. So you're a lifelong Packers fan. You see your famed quarterback, Bart Starr, passed away this week.
Yeah, that was sad. Great man.
Starr was 85 years old, played for the Packers from 1956 to 1971, and was beloved by fans of not only his generation, but succeeding ones as well. Along with being a Pro Football Hall of Famer and among a small portion of Packers all-time greats, he was a franchise role model in the eyes of many. Maybe the most popular player in Stars history. Would you agree with that?
Packers history. Yeah, he's probably the most respected. I'd say in the whole league. I mean, even you're younger, but I watched his last game. My relatives were all over at the house when the Packers. Bart Starr played his last game, and they made me watch it. I had no idea really what was going on, but they made me watch. So this is a big deal. So. And he was in the Green Bay area quite a bit. My mom actually knew him. My mom was a nurse over at, I think it was Belen Hospital in Green Bay. And she had worked on him before him, and Paul Hornung and Ray Nitschke and Jimmy Taylor. But she said he was a great man. Just a great guy.
Cool. Of course, that's one article's opinion. You probably couldn't even off the top of your head list all the legends that have come out of Green Bay as football players and coaches alike. I know they have a pretty extensive coaching tree as well. And by coaching tree, for those of you that don't know what that means, it's a head coach that kind of mentors his assistant coaches who then go on to become very successful head coaches elsewhere, whether that's at the professional level or the collegiate level or whatever it may be.
I think Mike Colburn probably.
He's got a really extensive coaching tree.
Yes, very much
and
so.
Who did he come under? Do you remember?
Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh.
Yeah.
Fantastic coach, San Francisco 49ers, right? Mm-hmm. Back when they were quite the dynasty with Montana and Jerry Rice. So, you can learn a lot from people like that. So, You know, this a lot of the, you know, it kind of gets us back to the generation now. Give it to me now. I don't want to work for anything. But
oh, gosh,
when you look at guys like that who spent their time in the trenches learning from some of the greatest minds in their profession, and look what they've done with their own teams.
Right.
You know, it's there's something to be said
Bart,
for.
Bart Starr is a great example. He was a 17th round draft choice.
Really?
17th round. In other words, he sucked.
And as, you know, as much as I can't stand the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Yeah, he was he sixth round?
He was way down there. I can't remember what round he went, but he was like the last quarterback drafted, I think. And to his credit, he's won a lot of championships.
He's done really well. There's always that debate. Now, I'm actually a Bill Belichick. I think Bill Belichick can take me and win a Super Bowl with me as the quarterback. He seems to work magic with everybody, but I'm not taking anything from Brady. I just...
Right. Well, and I don't disagree with that, because there was a year where Brady was out with an injury, and Belichick took whatever quarterbacks
Garoppolo,
he had.
And there's another guy who ended up going to Kansas City. I can't remember his name right now, but he looked fantastic in New England, and he...
Neither one of them did anything when they left New England.
Yeah, so. He was all right. And Garoppolo might be great. Well, we don't know yet. He got hurt, and then we don't know, but he seems to be able to... get rid of legends on his team, cut them,
right.
And somebody else always steps up. I don't know if that's just getting good talent or if it's his system.
The guy can coach his ass off. I mean,
yes, he can.
You know, despite all the, you know, and I'm a Colts fan, so obviously, screw you, Patriots. You know? But you know,
you got to give
Belichick his due. The man has been consistently winning in and out for almost 20 years now.
He,
it seems like
he reminds me a lot of Lombardi.
Yeah.
Where he just does, he has kind of a no-nonsense approach to everything,
right.
And he just do it my way and you'll win, and they do. My gosh, they win a lot.
And I love watching his interviews. It just,
you can see says nothing.
The reporters are just squirming trying to get information out of that guy. And, yes.
And he can just give them the most deadly look, can he? Bill, what do you think about this and this? And he just pierces their hearts with his look.
So I'm not going to give any more time and attention to the Patriots, because
I
do respect for what they've done. They've been a force to be dealt with for years and years now. So I just wish that those two guys could retire and get the hell out of the way. So
at least one of them.
At least one of them. So all right, going to move on to the next story. Man leaps off balcony to escape giving oral sex to woman trying to shoot him. There's the
wait, wait, wait. Say that again.
Man leaps off of balcony trying to escape giving oral sex to woman trying to shoot him. Out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a man jumped from a second-floor apartment balcony on May 13th after a woman with a gun tried to shoot him because he refused to give her oral sex. Anisha Speed, 19, was at the man's apartment after he invited her up after the pair had spent much of the day together. Once inside his apartment, Speed asked him to perform oral sex on her. When the man declined, Speed took out a handgun, according to police. Speed aimed the gun at the man and said she would shoot him if he didn't perform oral sex on her. The man grabbed Speed's wrist and she fired a shot into the wall. He then ran to the second floor, floor balcony and jumped to the ground, and another shot was fired by Speed in his direction. Police located Speed outside the apartment a short time later. Speed then resisted arrest and had to be taken to the ground so she could be taken into custody. Police searched the apartment and found two live 40 caliber bullets in a spent shell casing. Speed also allegedly stole a shotgun and a PlayStation 4 game console from the man's home. Speed was then booked on charges of attempted second-degree murder, illegal discharge of a firearm, theft of a firearm, resisting an officer, and tampering with evidence. Police did not release information on the man, but it is not believed he was injured from the jump from a second-floor balcony.
Is that
That's
him?
The woman.
Well, that's the woman? That's not a woman. Really?
I mean, maybe you can see why now that he declined.
Well, I don't know why he invited her up to his apartment.
Maybe they've been drinking. I don't know.
I never drank that much in my life.
Come on now. You were in the military.
You saw the picture.
Everything looks better with alcohol.
That would never look better.
All right,
that was disgusting.
Out of Indiana. Now, Joe has a nice home here, so we're going to move on to the next story.
All right.
excuse me. Out of Indianapolis. This picture, we'll put it up here. This is a nice, beautiful orange extension, and I guess it's not an extension cable. It's cable, coax cable for Comcast. Basically, a long orange cable snakes its way through Stephanie Coe's yard as she tries to keep it off her lawn. Spring is approaching. She's afraid that the mowers are going to start coming and the lines would get mowed over. For 2 weeks, she's been trying to get someone from Comcast out there, and they kept telling her they were going to get out with a scheduling crew and that no one would ever call her back. All this effort was done to get a cable removed that she doesn't benefit from because she doesn't use Comcast for her TV and internet services there. And
so this cable was just there?
They're running this cable. Basically, this goes on for a little bit, but they're running new cable in this neighborhood. And instead of burying the lines, it's just laying out and about.
So they intended on burying them, or?
Well, one would think she called channel. I don't know if you've seen Channel 6. You call 6 for help. Have you ever seen that?
No.
So basically, they've got this segment where a reporter from Channel 6, if you need help, call 6 for help. So people will call if they think they're being wronged in some way, and if Channel 6 finds it newsworthy, they'll do some digging and kind of blow up, you know.
All right.
Your business or whatever on TV. So they took this lady's information and did a story on it, and supposedly it was supposed to be fixed a few days after it made the news. So we'll see what happens. But that is pretty. I mean, that's her property that they're draping that.
Well, you know, if it was laying on her yard, why didn't she just run it over with the mower?
I don't know. That sounds pretty malicious, there, buddy. Yeah.
She's nicer than I am.
Comcast, don't screw with Joe. He'll run your stuff over.
No, you call him a few times, and after that, it seems fair.
All's fair in love and war.
Exactly.
I thought this was a pretty cool story. Beloved U.S. postal worker named Floyd Martin, retired Thursday, has been delivering mail to the same community of residents of Marietta, Georgia, for more than 20 years. On his last day, a local journalist joined him on his route, and the heartwarming send-off has gone viral. As they embarked on his route Thursday, hundreds of people in the neighborhood he has served expressed their gratitude. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Jennifer Brett's initial tweet documenting Martin's last day garnered more than 100,000 likes and nearly 40,000 retweets.
Wow.
Martin, who lives in Atlanta, joined the Postal Service a few years after graduating high school when he was offered the job, making more than twice what he was making at a bank. She added that it was his mother's idea to join the U.S. Postal Service. He had ultimately worked as a mailman for 35 years. Martin decided last summer would be his last job because he was done with the heat. Several people on his route spoke of his kindness, saying he would often go above and beyond what was asked of him. He would feed pets along his route, bring newspapers to doorsteps, offer lollipops to children. She wrote that one girl even dressed up as him on her school career day. Martin said it touched his heart. On his last day, people on Martin's route decided to decorate their mailboxes with ribbons, balloons, and congratulations signs, wishing him the best and writing, "We love you." At the end of his shift, more than 300 people gathered in the neighborhood for a surprise block party in his honor. Martin said his people are so good to him and he's going to miss them very much. Martin said he has known some of the people at the block party since they were babies. Many of them stood in line for hugs and photos with him. Martin said the send-off was the nicest thing anyone had ever done for him, and she wrote his parting words were, continue to take care of each other and smile when you think of me. A fundraising campaign was created Friday to help Martin fulfill his retirement dream of taking a trip to Hawaii. The campaign surpassed its goal of $5,000, raising nearly $20,000 in just 6 hours. There's a picture of Martin there with some of his people on his route. So, sounds like, you know, you don't see a lot of that anymore. People that are just invested in a community like that, as like a mailman, or
you know what, I've had some really good mailmen that
right.
I do feel that they've gone above and beyond, but they're on such stringent
time frames.
Yes, yeah. and they're monitored all the time, and so it seems years ago they used to talk a lot more. You could, you know, strike up a conversation and talk to them about stuff, and now they just don't have the time. But they're very
right.
Nice people. All you go to the post office here in town and. Not a big fan of their building. I think that they kind of get hosed on that building, but they nice people. And
I'm not sure I understand.
No, not again.
Here we go again. At least it wasn't body parts in movies or whatever the hell it was last week. It's a stupid watch. So anyway, so I think there are a lot, and you do a lot for the community, and people know who you are now. I mean, you are. If you were to retire sometime soon. I think there'd be a big deal made about that too. So that does happen. That does happen a lot.
This kind of reminds me, and he's a younger guy, we have a UPS guy that delivers a lot of our packages from like Amazon or wherever we order stuff from. And he takes the time to, you know, he'll see the kids, he'll talk to them. He likes to play with the dog because, you know, my little 5-pound dog that goes crazy anytime that any noise is made at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
He's very personable. He'll stay and talk for a minute, and I know UPS is on an extremely, like you said, short leash with the time frame to get stuff done. So it's refreshing to see stuff like that. People that have a good personality and try and take time to get to know their customers. So good for that guy.
Come to the bakery too. They're the same way. They always talk and smile, and I think it happens a lot more than what people realize. We're so hell bent on all the bad people.
Yeah.
And all the anybody that does something kind of crappy in a profession or something. Everyone wants to talk about it. It goes viral. The nice guys never get any airtime, it seems.
Yeah, so good for that guy. I mean,
I keep seeing that chick on his computer. I know what, I would have jumped out a 4-story window head first.
All right, well.
Begging for death all the way down. Please hit me with that gun.
Well, shame on him for inviting her upstairs. And
absolutely.
All right. So good for that guy. Hope he enjoys his vacation. It looks like he's going to have a hell of a nice vacation. They raised $15,000 more than what they want to do to send him. So should be a good time.
that had him almost make him cry when he's going and seeing all those people. That's nice
awesome.
Send-off.
Yeah, that's awesome. So congratulations, sir. Out of Washington, if we can get this article to load without something popping up. Man allegedly hiding drugs in his butt accidentally shoots himself in the testicles.
Ouch!
You know what, Lee? It seems like we've been having a bad day, right? We couldn't load the background up there. We've been sitting here for a freaking hour waiting for this thing to load up. Mm-hmm. The weather sucks, all this stuff. But you know what? I have no drugs up my butt, and I have not shot myself in the testicles. And my watch doesn't make noise like yours.
It only happens here, and only when that camera's on. Just saying. It's a conspiracy. Out of Washington, a man who shot himself in the testicles was also found to be hiding marijuana in his buttocks, according to reports. Cameron Jeffrey Wilson.
It was funnier when you said it like that.
Cameron Jeffrey Wilson, 27 years of age, was carrying a gun in his front pocket on April 5th in Washington State.
The gun can be in his pocket, but the drugs have to be.
When the firearm accidentally discharged, the bullet pierced Wilson's testicles and then went into his thigh. Upon arriving at the hospital, a doctor was operating on the gunshot wound when a balloon of marijuana slipped out of his anus.
Whoa! Whoops, I'm sorry, I farted.
I mean, it's just going from bad to worse.
I would much rather wait for that thing to load up on the camera.
Police arrived at the hospital and searched his car, where they also would go on to find a bag of methamphetamine. His troubles still have not ended here, as Wilson, who is a convicted felon, was being processed at the county jail. He is strip searched, and yet another balloon of marijuana came out of his anus.
Whoops!
Wilson has pled not guilty to a second-degree felon in possession of a firearm.
It wasn't mine! I don't know how it got there.
Yeah, you believe, It's not my anus.
Okay, So he has meth, right?
In his car.
In his car, yeah. But he has the pot up his ass.
Correct.
Okay, now you get, forgive me my ignorance.
And damaged testicles and a thigh.
Damaged testicles and a spent round. So the balloon with the weed in it, you swallow that and then it comes out, or do you just jam it up your ass start?
He's crammed that up his Yahoo there. And
okay. So why did he want to hide the pot so badly, but he was okay with leaving the meth in his car?
Well, I'm assuming that he didn't, maybe he was hoping not to be stopped by police or something. I don't know. That is strange why he would do that.
Why wouldn't you just keep the pot in the car?
Unless maybe he's overdosed on meth before by cramming it up his butt. I don't know. The article doesn't touch
maybe
on
he
that.
Just likes it.
Maybe he does. Maybe you can get high from weed being crammed up your butt. I'm not sure.
I'll never find out.
Out of Littlestown, Adams County, Pennsylvania, a case of censorship at a Pennsylvania high school is sparkling controversy after a Make America Great Again hats two students were wearing were blurred out from the yearly yearbook. One of the students in the picture, see if they show us a picture here.
I think I'm going to get mad.
One of the students in the picture says the motive violates his First Amendment rights. I just think that whoever did this doesn't like President Trump, 16-year-old Jeremy Gebhardt told the news. Gebhardt says that he and his friend decided to show their support for the president during the high school spirit week back in October. The photo then landed a spot in the yearbook with some changes. The hats embroidered with the words reading Trump, Make America Great Again campaign slogan were photoshopped out. We were like they blurred our hats out, Gebhardt said. I was infuriated because he wears his hat because he supports our president, said his mother. He's not doing anything illegal and he's wearing a hat of support. Everybody has First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, and they're allowed to think what they want and say what they want, but they aren't allowed to take away from other people. Gebhardt says she's disappointed in the school's decision to blur the hats. It's very upsetting, said his mother. Someone used this on purpose to blur out the Trump logo and make their own statement. In a statement provided to WPMT TV, the superintendent wrote in part, "The mistake was not noticed during the editorial preview process prior to print. We apologize on behalf of the Yearbook Club. It is not the policy or practice of the district to improperly censor speech," said a superintendent of the schools.
Okay, so the school didn't knock it out. Somebody else did.
Well, you know, and I've been a little out of the yearbook game for a little while. My kids don't really seem to care about them because, you know,
nobody really cares.
That's an archaic
anymore,
thing, I think.
Right.
But there were clubs, I believe, at least when we were growing up, and it sounds like there still is, where they edit these things before they go to print.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody saw this and edited it out, and
but it could have been one of the students.
Correct.
Okay, I don't understand.
But there should be an adult in charge of.
Well, the yearbooks, if it's a big school, it's a big yearbook, and there's probably more, it's probably hard to see. But I don't understand why people get so hell-bent out on the Make America Great thing. Whether you like Trump or hate Trump, it really doesn't matter. Do you want to make America great again? Oh, America was great already.
Fish your narrative, they do. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, it should be greater. It could be greater.
Correct.
And that's... whether Trump says it or I say it or Lee says it, what the hell difference does it make? Why is everyone so upset? Why is it Trump's? He doesn't have that. Is that like his personal slogan?
Well, when he was campaigning,
I know, but I mean, it was a statement. It's not his statement. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have all the rights to it. That's stupid. I see it a lot. People get mad. Oh, you're wearing a Make America Great hat. Well, you must be prejudiced. What?
Yeah.
What? Because I want to make America great?
Right. Well, just more asinine behavior, so just... Anyway.
I'm getting numb to it.
Yeah, we're going to... Yeah, no kidding. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next thing. Ever heard of the JetBlue airline, Joe?
No.
I know you're a well-traveled man. When it comes to cola, soda drinkers tend to fall into two distinct and passionate groups, right? Coke
and Pepsi.
Or Pepsi.
Right.
Just ask JetBlue, the airline, which has gained fans with its free snacks and free Wi-Fi, will be switching from Coca-Cola to Pepsi in June, according to the USA Today. Let's just say this is tough to swallow for those firmly in the pro-Coca-Cola camp.
Oh, boo.
In fact, the soda switcheroo is so serious, it's a deal-breaker, say some Twitter users. Like at MattG_21, who tweeted, "JetBlue is switching to Pepsi products. Guess I'm never flying at JetBlue again." Meanwhile, others tweeted, such as at NS Pathfinder, are pleading with JetBlue to bring Coca-Cola back. Who tweeted, "What are we, monsters? Bring back the hashtag Coke." But Pepsi did have a few fans going to bat for its brand, including Twitter user Clay Aiken, American Idol alumnus. And if you're curious about Carolina's hashtag, Clay Aiken said something and my article went away, so you don't get to see it because I don't care.
Yeah, there you go.
But
Pepsi must be sponsoring this airline, right? That's why.
You know, I don't know how that works.
Because if they're not sponsoring, why would they just carry both? So I'd imagine there's some money.
At the end of the article, I did read it earlier. It said that their their main reason for it is JetBlue's colors are blue, and they wanted to associate everything blue. And Pepsi is obviously their cans and bottles are blue.
Well, okay, that's stupid.
Coca-Cola's red.
That's just stupid.
But you know, I don't know how that works in restaurants.
I think there's red in Pepsi too, isn't there?
I think part of it's red, but primarily the can is blue, just like Kokomo's primarily red. So, do you sit on the fence one way or the other if you get a soda somewhere?
I haven't had a soda in years.
In years,
I don't really care. I never cared when I did drink soda.
Yeah, I mean,
Dr. Pepper. I like Dr. Pepper.
I kind of grew up. Well, I did grow up. Both my parents were Coke drinkers, so that's what I grew up liking. I don't despise Pepsi. Like a lot of people do, but I don't prefer it over Coke.
It's a different flavor. Pepsi's sweeter.
So, yeah, it is.
Did you ever try the new Coke? Do you remember when that came out, or are you too young?
I don't know if I bookmarked an article on that or not, but did you see where they're bringing back the new Coke?
No.
So, have you heard of the series they put out on Netflix probably a couple years ago called Stranger Things? Did you ever see any headlines about that?
No.
It's a...
I'm in the bakery all the time.
Well... It's based in the 1980s, so these kids, and it's kind of sci-fi, it's more or less sci-fi related, but it takes place back in the 80s.
Okay.
So everything's 80s, you know, the bikes, the music, the clothes, everything's 80s.
That's
very
awesome.
Authentic looking.
All right, I like it.
So apparently in this, I think they're getting ready to enter their, I watched the show, I kind of like it, but they're getting ready to enter their third season, and they're going to hit the new Coke phase from the 80s. And I read where Coke's actually going to bring back new Coke for a short time.
Really?
So that's pretty cool. So it might be kind of hard to get hold of.
You know, I tried it. It tastes a lot like Pepsi.
I can't even remember what it tastes like. It's been so long ago. But yeah, I have tried it.
You must have been pretty young. But it was such a backlash. Everyone was so pissed. So then they... In fact, I still have an original Coke can because they switched to a new Coke and they were getting rid of the old Coke. Mm-hmm. And so I saved an old can of Coke because I thought, well, this can be worth something one day.
Right.
And then they got rid of the new Coke, so I should have saved the new Coke can.
I have a great uncle, my dad's uncle. He at one time, I assume he still does, he really liked collecting authentic old-time Coca-Cola memorabilia. Mm-hmm. And his garage was full of all these cool Coca-Cola artifacts from over the years.
Right.
But the man didn't drink Coke. He loved Pepsi.
Oh, that's funny.
So
see, and I have behind our screen that I have an old Coke machine. It's a 58, I believe.
It is pretty cool looking. So I always thought that was funny. So let's go ahead and move on to the next thing. This has kind of touched a nerve with me a little bit. Too good to be true, Division III St. Thomas football program's recent success gets it kicked out of its conference. Division III football powerhouse St. Thomas is having to leave the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. The MIAC announced Wednesday that St. Thomas would involuntarily leave the conference no later than the year 2021. St. Thomas has been the conference's dominant football program in recent years, and that's rubbed the fellow conference members in the wrong way enough that a push to get rid of St. Thomas had started. That push was apparently successful. After extensive membership discussions, the University of St. Thomas will be involuntarily removed from membership in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. According to statement, the President's Council cites the athletic competitive parity in the conference as a primary concern. St. Thomas will begin a multi-year transition immediately and meanwhile is eligible to compete as a full member of the MIAC through to the spring of 2021. Any vote to get rid of St. Thomas needed support from 9 of the 13 schools in the conference. St. Thomas expended tremendous effort to remain in the conference and stabilize it. However, the presidents came to a consensus that the conference itself would begin to cease to exist in its current form if St. Thomas was allowed to remain. The primary concern cited by other presidents is the lack of competitive parity within the conference across many sports. They stated that St. Thomas has not violated any conference or NCAA rules and leaves the conference in good standing. While this decision is extremely disappointing, they will continue to prioritize the welfare and overall experience of their student athletes. They embrace and represent both academic and athletic excellence and are important contributors to their university's culture. St. Thomas has won 118 games during the Coach Glenn Caruso's 11-year tenure. This is referring to the football program. Many of them by large margins. In 2017, the team shut out two different opponents and outscored a combined 181 points in two games. This goes on a little bit longer, but they're kicked out of the conference for being too damn good. Because nobody else can keep
up. But they're not violating any rules.
No.
They're not doing any illegal recruiting. So the size of their school is the same as the other sizes of the schools. I take it they're in the same conference.
To an extent, I believe that there were several different articles I found on that. The one I bookmarked did not say the enrollment size. I think they were the largest school in the conference. But with that being said, no matter if you're looking at Division 1, 2, or 3, they'd have to be somewhere
right
in the same vicinity. So.
So this kind of goes back to the same crap we were talking about last time, where we can't have somebody better than you. We can't have no valedictorians in Ohio, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's in Ohio.
And everyone gets a trophy. That's stupid. That's just
so. To me, this should open.
That's not fair.
To me, this should open the door. I mean, this was Division III, but to me, this should open the door for Division I schools, right? So,
right.
I mean, look at the college football world. You think of who are the kings of the table here in recent memory? You're looking at Alabama and Clemson.
Yeah, well, they should be kicked out of the conference.
So,
that's
are they
going to
get kicked out of the respective conferences?
Yeah, they should.
Before them, the powerhouse was what? USC,
Florida.
Well, Florida State,
and they actually cheated. So,
To me, this opens a can of worms.
Ohio wins a lot, don't they?
Ohio State.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, you can look at that anyway. You know,
that was just
Michigan.
Whoever. What are they even thinking? What, you guys are just too good. I mean, eventually it changes. It always changes. New England's always good. New England should just get kicked out of their conference.
Well, softening of our country once again. Now you can't be too good at football, which is the most beloved sport in our country right now.
Right.
So give me a break. Here's a pretty comical one. Woman gives birth in McDonald's car park in a McDonald's car. What is that? Woman gives birth in McDonald's car park and then orders a quarter pounder. When you're in last stages of your pregnancy, it can be a pretty nervy time because a baby could come at any time. If you're in an awkward situation, you need to act fast and make sure mom and baby get through it okay. Well, one woman found that out the hard way when her water broke when she was in the car with her husband, but they weren't on their way to the shops or having a nice Sunday drive. They were in the car of a Melbourne drive-thru out of a Melbourne McDonald's. They called 000, which is their version of 911, but realizing it may be a bit of a wait, the woman sent her husband in to get the essentials. That's right, quarter pounder. Nothing worse than going to labor on an empty stomach. Licensee Ainsley Shillington told the Daily Mail in Australia, during our lunch rush, he asked for an order for his wife who's still having a baby in the car. We served the customer as quickly as possible with drinks and a dinner box, and he proceeded on his way. The crew at the time were concerned. Everyone thought it was quite fun to have such an occurrence in the car. Car park, that's what they call the drive-thru there. It's the car park. When they saw the ambulance in attendance, they knew they were well and everyone was looked after properly. She said the husband appeared pretty frazzled when he came in. Understandably, really, when your wife's preparing to give birth in the car. Thankfully, it didn't take too long for emergency services to arrive and take the woman to the hospital, albeit with a quarter pounder still in her hand. Talk
Looks
about
like
a...
Looks like they're getting ready for their junior high...
Here's the punchline. Talk about a bloody good Happy Meal.
Oh, no. I wish you wouldn't have said that. No, okay, so her water... She's very pregnant. They're in the McDonald's drive-thru. Her water breaks. Now, what would you have done? Sarah's in the car. Her water breaks. First of all, you panic because you already have 11 million children. But after that, don't you get out of the line and drive to a hospital?
Common sense would say yes. Now, I have made the mistake one time of passing don't take offense to this, we didn't know each other back then. I passed the hot and fresh signs of a Krispy Kreme donuts when Sarah was very pregnant when we were on vacation once in Tennessee. And I'd never had a Krispy Kreme before, and we had just literally eaten. I don't remember if it was breakfast, lunch, what it was, but we had just eaten. And she yelled at me. She was in the back seat with my mom, I think. And
delivering a baby.
Yeah, she goes, hot fresh signs on, hot fresh signs on, pull in. Like, what are you talking about? Krispy Kremes. I'm like, we just ate, and I passed it. So I got an ass chewing from my very pregnant wife and an even bigger one from my mother, who told me to turn around and go get hot fresh Krispy Kremes.
Wow.
So... Don't make a pregnant woman mad, man.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, if her water broke, where would you have gone? Would you have gone back to the hot and fresh, or would you have gone to the hospital?
I would have wanted to go to the hospital, but, you know, when their head starts spinning around in an exorcist-like fashion, sometimes you got to think about your own personal safety.
I guess.
All right, out of Marlboro, Massachusetts, whoever broke into a Massachusetts man home last week didn't take a thing. They did, however, leave the house spotless. We had a similar story similar to this.
We just had one like this. Yeah, it was drug-induced.
Nate Roman tells the Boston Globe that when he returned to his Marlboro home from work May 15th, he could tell a stranger had been there. Nothing was missing, but the 44-year-old Roman noticed that his beds were made, the rugs were vacuumed, and the toilets were scrubbed. They even crafted origami roses on the toilet paper rolls.
It was his mom.
He called the experience weird and creepy and contacted local police. Sergeant Daniel Campbell says that the department has not heard of similar episodes and there are no suspects at this time. Roman says he may have left his back door unlocked and he thinks that perhaps a housekeeping service went to his home by mistake. Man, I wish somebody would make that mistake at my house.
I don't know what to say.
I mean, I don't even know if I'd call police on that. I'm like, hey, somebody's coming in here and cleaning. They're not stealing
my
stuff.
I leave my door open every day. My house is always clean out. I can't complain about it. But
mine is not because I have five
kids. You have thousands and thousands of children, and I can't... I don't know how you... You go to work to relax, don't you?
I do. And that's sad.
Can you imagine wanting to be a cop so you can relax?
Welcome to my world. All right, out of Slidell, Louisiana, Anita Singleton no longer has to work. Has to walk 6 miles to her job at a Louisiana Walmart store, all thanks to a chance encounter with a police officer early Sunday morning. Officer Bradley Peck saw Singleton walking to work along a narrow bridge in Slidell when he picked her up, thinking she was going to the nearest Walmart. She said, "No, baby, I'm headed to the North Shore store." He said, "Ma'am, that's a really long walk. Why don't you jump in and I'll give you a ride over there?" She got into the car and they talked the entire way. Like he said in his Facebook post, from faith to life lessons, how he was raised is how she was raised. It was really cool. She's a super lady, and I got her to Walmart, shook her hands, and went into work, Officer Peck told the news. Officer Peck would then go on to write a Facebook post about their encounter. "We just had a wonderful interaction with one another that morning," Anita said. That post then caught the attention of Matt Bauer's Chevrolet dealership. They decided to let her choose between two cars and even paying the insurance and all the bills that come along with it. She was left speechless. This is an incredible blessing, and she's so grateful for it. Her commute to work is now much easier. She will no longer have to wake up at 4:30 a.m. to make it to work by 7. Officer Peckshit says he's inspired by her work ethic, and before he left the dealership, his message to others was, "Work like Ms. Zanita," and I'm going to adding that he's going to work even harder now because he feels like he's slacking due to her inspiration of her work ethic. So.
Well, that was nice.
And you can't sympathize with that to an extent because you wake up in the middle of the night before that to go to work. But
no, well, I don't have to
most miles. I mean, can you imagine? You know, if you didn't have a car and you live where you do now, and you'd have to walk into town to get to.
It'd be a nice walk.
So, you know, I've seen stories similar like this before, and you know, here's somebody that is doing what she's got to do to survive. She's probably not making a lot of money working at Walmart. She's making quite the trek from wherever she lives. Obviously, she's got she wakes up at 4:30 to be there by 7, so that's a 2.5-hour process between getting ready and walking to work. Rain, cold, sleet, snow, whatever the case may be. So that's a pretty awesome gesture of that local Chevy dealership to provide her with a car and pay for insurance.
Yeah, so. And the policeman.
So kudos to everybody for a job well done there.
You know, a lot of people are like that. I told you I had to go to the emergency room weeks ago, real bad back, and it was pretty bad, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong, so they just gave me a shot. Well, they didn't tell me. I'm sure they told me, but it was a narcotic, and I was pretty jacked up, and I had driven over there, and they said, "Well, you can't drive back." Well, what the hell am I supposed to do? It's 2:00 in the morning. I don't want to call anybody and wake them up.
Right.
So I can't mention any names, but there's a policeman. I was going to walk home. That's a long walk from Duke's.
Yeah.
So I happened to see a policeman, and they gave me a ride home. It was really nice.
Got to take care of the donut guy. So it's good to hear things like that. So much negative news anymore. I like to see the happy stories every once in a while. So.
Yeah.
moving on to irritating news again. McDonald's workers demand $15 an hour in rallies across the nation. Protesters and presidential candidates called for higher wages and better conditions for McDonald's employees on Thursday. The union-backed activist group Fight for $15 organized the rallies. Democratic presidential contender Julian Castro joined a march to McDonald's in North Carolina. Nearly all the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates have expressed the support for the idea that the federal minimum wage should be doubled to more than $15 an hour. The McDonald's annual shareholders meeting is also Thursday in Dallas. Striking cooks and cashiers plan to travel to the shareholder meeting while they'll attend a video town hall hosted by Senator Bernie Sanders, who is also running for president. Castro, the former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and current San Antonio mayor marched with roughly 200 activist minimum wage workers and union representatives from a park in Durham to the nearby McDonald's. He joined them in chants of "Put some respect in my check," and "What do we want? 15. When do we want it? Now." Workers banged on makeshift drums, waved red flags, NC rise up, and carried a giant effigy of McDonald's cartoon character Ronald McDonald. The march ended in a rally in front of the local McDonald's store. "What's happened in this country over the last 40 years is we've expected less and less from people and from the corporations at the very top, and we've expected more and more from the middle class and working poor," Castro said during the rally. He added that his campaign workers won't patronize McDonald's until workers' demands for higher wages, a union, and sexual harassment protections are met. The speech drew applause from the crowd and cheers of "You've got my vote." McDonald's has come under fire from workers in recent years for their treatment and wages. Earlier this week, the American Civil Liberties Union helped file 25 sexual harassment charges against the restaurant chain. $15 an hour to throw some patties in the microwave.
I have a lot of respect for all fast food workers, for all workers.
It's a thankless job. But
it is, and I definitely have my thoughts about this. Okay, if you live in California, you live in Miami, you live in Chicago, you live in San Antonio, New York, you shouldn't be making minimum wage. The federal minimum is, what, 7 1/4?
I'm not even sure what it is now.
And I honestly, I like the McDonald's here, it doesn't pay minimum wage, so I don't know why they're paying. Is it in Charlotte, you said?
Yes.
Is that where you were? Okay, so the thing is, there's a chain reaction to all that. So you're used to going to McDonald's and getting a quarter pounder for $1.89 or something like that. I'm just throwing numbers out there. If you increase your payroll to 40%, you've got to increase your costs. And that's okay, as long as everybody understands that quarter pounder is going to cost you $5 now,
right,
or $4, then I don't care. I mean, you know, if I had to raise all my wages at the bakery, $15 an hour, that's fine. But I would, you know, I'm already at 40% for payroll. I would have to raise my prices quite a bit.
Right.
So it just goes hand in hand. So I mean, and then the people that are making $14 an hour, you're bumping them up to 15. Now they're making minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And how do they feel about that? They're making the same amount as everybody else, but you can't. The small businesses, like my own, I think we'd just be done. But that's okay, because I mean, it's not like that's the end of the world. If the bakery closes, it's not the end of the world. A bigger chain will be able to do it, and everyone's going to be fine. I just don't know.
And that seems to be the thing that to me people aren't grasping is, you know, if you raise the wage to a McDonald's or a Wendy's or Burger King, whatever the case may be, if you make their pay across the board $15 an hour, no matter where they live, that's pretty good chunk of change here in Indiana. It's nothing in San Francisco.
No, it's not going to help them.
You're right.
Really
it's going to affect you. You know, McDonald's, they're not going to eat that. They're going to make the customers pay for it. They're going to make their profit regardless. And
why else are they there?
Right. And then, you know, so if you raise their wages to $15 an hour from whatever it is now, $7, $8, even $9 an hour, if it's that's a lot of money coming out of McDonald's pocket.
Right.
And, you know, we're already seeing, to me, I notice an increase in these value meals, no matter where it is.
Yeah, they have.
Almost every time I go, I feel like they're going up in price. And, you know, just the other day, I mean, you know, I'll come into your shop with breakfast sometimes and, you know, a couple eggs, couple sausage patties and a nice coffee is almost $10.
Oh, wow.
That's ridiculous, so.
Well, but the thing is we've gotten conditioned to paying so little for our food.
And two eggs and two sausage patties?
Well, I mean, but you didn't have to make them yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to start.
You could have made them yourself and brought them. And that's probably what will happen. And then people get used to it.
Let's look at the flip side of this. You know, as a business owner, that affects the way your business is run if you have
done.
To jack up that price.
We would be done.
But then you need to look at it, too. $15 an hour, especially in the state of Indiana, that's a pretty decent salary.
Right.
And, I mean, there's certain departments, you know, whether you're an officer or you're an RN, depending on how small the community or an organization you work for, they may not even make that type of salary.
Well, they will now.
And we're talking about trained professionals. But how can you say somebody that makes, you know, a fast food burger deserves the same or more salary as somebody that's, you know, has a college education or has been...
I think what they're trying to do is they would want everyone... If you're making $15 an hour, they expect you to go up to 20. And if you're
but
making 20...
That's not going to work, right?
Well, it won't. And then that's why it's a little short-sighted. But now, and for the record, I couldn't go into one of these fast food restaurants and work.
Yeah.
Those guys are working all the time, and they're multitasking the whole time. I have a lot of respect for anyone working that drive-thru, and the abuse that they take in the drive-thru is amazing to me. But
I'm not knocking the workers. I'm knocking the logic of $15 an hour.
Don't they have like a federal minimum wage and then a state minimum wage?
Yes.
So I think that's what it do. Maybe they'll make it, maybe the federal will be 15 and, you know, California, New York, the larger cities will change to 15 and maybe the smaller places would, you know, say 10.
Well, I mean, we've seen this push before, and mm-hmm. it wasn't long after that where I believe it was McDonald's started putting in the touch screens where you place your food.
Well, and that's what's going to happen too. So, but like I said, small places like mine, I would just have to close.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes, but that's where massive recessions obviously come into play, so mm-hmm. a little bit of common sense goes a long way with that type of stuff. So let's go ahead and move on. Busch Beer will now pay for your wedding, supply an officiate, and provide the beer. That's right. Or that guy has just been ordained. Look at that handsome lumberjack fellow there.
Do you have to drink Busch Beer?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. Busch Beer is holding a contest for couples across America. The winner will get a free wedding officiated by the Busch Beer spokesperson and a full supply of Busch Beer. Busch Beer stated in a press release that they want to pay for your wedding, supply it with beer, and have their spokesperson officiate it. They said that the Busch guy, who is the beer brand's spokesperson, has officially been ordained. One couple will have the opportunity to have him officiate their wedding this summer. The winning couple will also receive a $25,000 wedding gift, which they reported as the average cost of a wedding in America. Man. And a full supply of Busch beer. We know Busch is beloved by our fans, but being featured in wedding photos and invited to the wedding themselves is an entirely different level, said Daniel Blake, who's the senior marketing director of Anheuser-Busch. This campaign is coming straight from the desk of our devoted community, and we can't wait to see the Busch guy bring together one happy couple this summer. Couples in the United States are eligible to win this one-of-a-kind wedding. To enter, just post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram why you want to get married by the Busch guy using hashtag BushWeddings and hashtag contest. Then visit the Busch Beer website, follow the online instructions, and submit your entry. Entries are open from May 20th to May 31st. You're running out of time. And wedding date must be between July 1st and August 31st to be eligible. So if this goes to May 31st, and they expect the earliest wedding date to be, I mean, women plan this for sometimes a year or more ahead of time, right? That's pretty fast if you win.
I don't know how they set up the venue for something like that, unless it's set up.
Yeah, I don't know.
But how would Sarah, if I told my wife that we were going to have the Busch guy marry us, and we were going to have a lot of Busch beer.
We should get ordained.
You think we could?
You can do anything on the internet. I mean, this guy did.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Who out there would like to be married by the Doe and Fife?
Father Lee and Father Joe.
Hallelujah.
I don't think anybody would do that.
I bet somebody would be dumb enough to go for it. Somebody's going to be dumb enough to get married by the beer guy.
I wouldn't get married if I suggested to Kathy that we're going to get married by the beer guy. She'd say, yeah, you know, I don't think this is going to work out. She says that already, but she already married me.
That's right. She's stuck now.
Yeah, that's stupid. And she said, I'm dumb.
Yeah. All right. Teenager has 29 magnetic balls removed after putting them in his penis. A teenager in China has a set of 29 magnetic balls removed from his bladder 3 months after shoving them up his penis. The 13-year-old, known as Lin, reportedly suffered severe abdominal pains for weeks after he placed the objects inside of himself. But he was too embarrassed to tell his parents what he had done. He was taken to the children's hospital in the capital of China's northwestern province on the 11th of May. After being admitted, doctors ordered x-rays for the youngster to find out the cause of the pain. There's the outcome, I believe. According to the urologist, Batafuku, the magnetic beads had formed a tight cluster inside of his bladder.
Is that the patient or is that the doctor?
That's the urologist.
Okay.
The magnetic beads had formed a tight cluster inside of his bladder and had to be surgically removed. Speaking about the bizarre case, Dr. Yan said roughly 3 months ago, while the boy was playing with the magnetic balls, he lined them up in a row and inserted them right up his urethra out of curiosity. By the time he started to feel discomfort and tried to pull them out, the magnets separated and remained inside. During this time, the boy didn't tell his parents because he was too embarrassed, but the child admitted to experiencing abdominal pains for 3 months. He thought he could expel these through urination, not knowing that it would not be possible to do so. His parents only discovered 3 months later when they noticed him walking with a limp and questioned him about it. They were able to remove them in microsurgery, and when they opened up his bladder, it removed the entire cluster of magnetic balls, all 29 of them. According to the reports, the teenager is now recovering well after surgery and has already been discharged to continue his recuperation at home.
Discharged.
Dr. Yan said it's important that children like Lin are given the right to help and guidance during this particular time of their lives. He added kids in puberty are curious about their bodies and they need proper guidance and education from their parents. Here's a word of advice. Don't stick magnets up your pee hole.
Why would I have to talk to my child about this? Okay, I have a lot of questions about this. Okay, so he has, first of all, why does he have all these magnetic balls? What was this for?
I don't know.
Okay, second of all, why was he naked playing with magnetic balls? Third, what would possess him to put one in his penis? Not just one, how many? 13?
It's 20-something.
20-some.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Even if you were curious enough to put one in there, you put one in and you jam the next one in, and you jam the next one in, and you jam the next one in. When do you say, this could possibly be a bad idea? And he couldn't get them out? Couldn't he squeeze and kind of...
I can't imagine him going in. I couldn't have felt going...
Good no! And...
And how did it take months? I mean, how was he even...
How did he get them all the way in there? Because wouldn't it automatically try to come out?
You would think. I don't know. Very strange, very strange. So.
He's a dumbass.
Out of Statesville, North Carolina. We touched on a story about patriotism a couple different times, especially last week, right? So
yeah.
Out of Statesville, North Carolina, a longtime simmering dispute over a large U.S. flag flying outside of an RV store has prompted a lawsuit. The city of Statesville, North Carolina, wants the flag removed or replaced with a smaller one because it violates city ordinance. Camping World said the city filed an injunction to fine the company $50 a day dating back to October 15th of 2018, which brings the current total of the fine to $11,000.
Oops.
The company flies a 40 by 80 foot flag outside of its RV location to pay tribute to military veterans. Two sides worked out a compromise last year by creating an exemption for a flag that's larger than the city ordinance permits, but it wasn't as large as Camping World wanted. The city says a flag within 100 feet of the highway can't be larger than 25 by 40 feet. The company has continued to fly a very large flag, which has been a source of contention between the city and the company since 2015. And the owner says he doesn't care if they start fining him up to $500 a day. I'm not taking it down. This is coming from the owner of the RV company, Marcus Lamonis. Lamonis said the company flies large flags at dozens of its stores across the country. My family has been car dealers and had been car and has been since the 1960s, and our key trademark has always been our flying flag. His family is very largely is made up of immigrants out of this country. the city spokesperson at Statesville only started fining the company after repeatedly asking them to take it down with a smaller one. An online petition support the company has collected more than 133,000 signatures as of Wednesday morning. So
it doesn't give us. I mean, the city wants a flag smaller. Is it impeding vision on the highway or something? Is there
no? It doesn't say that it is, and I don't.
Then what? I don't know. What
they just have an issue
is.
With the size. Apparently, by city ordinance, they can't fly within 100 feet of a high. If it flies near a highway, within 100 feet of a highway, they don't want it to be larger than 25 by 40 feet.
I guess I need to know why.
It's hard telling what that ordinance is or how old it is. I mean, even here in our community, there's some really old ordinances that maybe they made sense 50 years ago, but they sure don't make any sense today. So,
right.
And again, this is something where somebody's picking on. If it's not impeding the vision of anybody, who cares?
Or are they concerned it might rip free and
a small one could rip free and go. You know,
yeah, and it could go across the windshield just as easily.
So I don't know. That was... Again, it's somebody having a problem with patriotism, so...
Well, that doesn't look good.
Florida. Viral video shows a Florida man bathing in a windy sink.
We're in Florida.
A video of a Florida man... This is out of Milton, Florida.
Milton!
A video of a Florida man allegedly taking a bath in a windy sink has gone viral. The video posted on Facebook by Haley Lee shows a barefoot man who appears to be a Wendy's employee take his shirt off and get in the sink that looks to be in the back of the Wendy's restaurant. Let's see if the video will load here. There we go. Take a look at it.
I want to turn off the thing.
Yeah.
I suck you up in there.
Go, 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 go. Oh! Oh, shit.
Oh, man, was it a dare?
Take a bath. Take a bath.
Yeah.
Get in there.
Oh, my God. There's butter going everywhere.
Sounds like,
that
sounds
goes
like,
on. So $15 an hour. There you go.
It sounds like he was dared to do it.
I don't care.
And he's a young man, so he's going to make a stupid choice.
Yeah. $15 an hour. You and I will not see eye to eye. No. I'm sorry, but no.
I'm just saying for this. I can see.
This goes viral online. They don't suggest anyone meeting at the Milton Wendy's again. In the video, the man gets in the sink and sits down as if he's in a bathtub. A girl in the background of the video is encouraging the man to take a bath, get in there. The man who got inside the sink goes on to say it's warm, while the girl encourages him to turn on the jets. The girl encourages the man to wash his armpits and to dry himself off. The girl hands him what appears to be paper towels. And the voice behind him in the camera says, let's see them toes. At the end of the video, the camera briefly flips to the front camera mode, where you can see a girl who appears to be in a Wendy's uniform smiling. According to Leach, who posted the Facebook video, this occurred at the Wendy's in Milton, Florida. His video has been shared more than 5,000 times. This was as of May 23rd, so it's way more than that now. So,
I bet he doesn't work there anymore.
Hey.
And those two girls shouldn't either. They're the ones who... But...
And, you know, and this is the type. You can look up horror stories from fast food places and even restaurants.
There are the disgusting things that people do. I've done my share of stupid things. I mean, not that he should have done that. I'm not...
Let's move on. Okay. Out of South Mississippi, a South Mississippi lawmaker punches his wife in the face after she didn't undress quickly enough when the lawmaker wanted to have sex, according to the local police report. Republican State
That'll speed her along.
Republican State Representative Doug McCloud.
It's like mood music, isn't it?
Lucedale was arrested Saturday on a misdemeanor charge of domestic violence. Sun Herald reports that the document was filed with the George County Sheriff's Department. McCloud is now free on bail. He didn't immediately respond to requests for comment.
That's weird.
58-year-old McCloud has represented George and Stone County since 2012. He's unopposed for re-election this year. McCloud hasn't responded to requests for comment. It's unclear if he has his own attorney. Republican House Speaker Philip Gunn of Clinton said McCloud should step down if he did, in fact, punch his wife. I've attempted to contact a representative McCloud to request his resignation if, in fact, these allegations are true, Gunn said in a statement Tuesday. These actions are unacceptable for anyone. Deputies would report that McCloud was intoxicated and holding a glass of alcohol when they arrived at the family home Saturday night. Deputies report McCloud punched his wife and bloodied her nose. They found blood on the bed in the bedroom floor. When McCloud opened the door, officers told him they were responding on a report of a domestic assault, and his reply was, "Are you kidding me?" Deputies said they could hear McCloud when he walked back inside yelling that the cops are here. Mr. McCloud had slurred speech and walked in a slow zigzag type pattern, adding that he was so inebriated that he had to grab a handrail to maintain his balance. When deputies entered,
I go through that every day.
When deputies entered, they said two women were standing at the top of the stairwell and both appeared to be frightened. McCloud's wife eventually came outside after deputies assured her they would keep her away from her husband. Deputies said McCloud's wife was shaking and upset. His wife would state that her husband was drunk and just snapped, as he often does when he's under the influence of alcohol. The other women present said McCloud's wife came running up to her room with her face bloodied. The woman shut the door and locked it with his wife inside. The other woman said McCloud started banging on the door and telling the woman to open it. He told the other woman if she didn't open the door, he'd kill her explicitive dog. McCloud's wife did not want to go to the hospital by ambulance, but assured authorities she'd have her daughter take her to get checked out.
So these two girls were daughters.
So,
what a fine example he set for us.
Right, and like you said, surely to speed things along when you punch them right in the nose. So.
Yes, always puts them in a mood.
Liquid courage is not always the best way to go. Out of Virginia Beach, Virginia, Abraham Haynes admits he's grown mushrooms and pot before, but he told WTKR's arrest Monday for alleged manufacturing of meth was just a big giant mistake.
Oops.
Someone texted me on my phone looking for some weed. They said they heard about me through a mutual friend, so he must be a pretty good dealer, Haynes said from inside the Virginia Beach jail. When he went to get money out, he says he and a friend were stopped by police and handcuffed. They said they've been following me for months and that he is making meth. Norfolk police said they were conducting a narcotics investigation in their city Monday when it led them to execute a search warrant 4300 block of Tillman Drive in Virginia Beach. During the course of their investigation, they said they discovered items in Haynes' home that appeared to be the components of a lab used to manufacture drugs. They told me that I was producing meth, but I have a chemistry set, and it's used to make essential oils and soaps. Easy to mistake the two.
Being a policeman, you've mm-hmm. run into a lot of things, and how many times do people come up with the dumbest excuses, like something like that? Do you get that a lot?
Yes.
I wish you could talk about them, but...
One day, one day. night.
Yep.
Yeah, come on. Out of Seattle, Washington, ashes to ashes, guts to dirt. That's right. Washington becomes the first state to allow composting of human bodies. It allows licensed facilities to offer natural organic reduction, which turns a body mixed with substances such as wood chips and straw into about 2 wheelbarrows worth of soil in a span of several weeks. Loved ones are allowed to keep the soil to spread, just as they might spread the ashes of someone who's been cremated, or even to use it to plant vegetables or a tree. That means giving, it gives meaning to use what happens to our bodies after death. And supporters say the method is environmentally friendly alternative to cremation, which releases carbon dioxide and pollutions into the air, and in a conventional burial, in which people are drained out of their blood, pumped full of formaldehyde and other chemicals that can pollute groundwater, and placed in a nearly indestructible coffin, taking up land space. So, you know, maybe you want to be a tree one day?
I don't want to be buried in a coffin. I think that's gross. I was just going to get cremated, but I don't want to be mulched either.
You know, you can mix for some nice scenery around your wife's shrubs after you're gone.
I don't want to, you know.
The dog could go out there and have his runny diarrhea all over you. That'd be great.
Have a tomato. This is dad. That's disgusting. No, I got a problem with that.
We've touched on these stories before. I think I don't know if we've done it on the show. You know, I've talked about, you know, I've talked about this. Is that I'm actually out of Greenwood, Indiana. Grandfather of a 6-year-old wants to change an Indiana school district's policy after he said the little girl was forced into a humiliating cafeteria walk of shame. Anya Howard, a kindergartner at Southwest Elementary School, was instructed Friday to return to her tray of hot food after a cafeteria aide discovered she didn't have enough money in her lunch account to pay for the $2.25 meal. 6-year-old says she was forced to return to the back of the lunch line and wait for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She had to walk past 20 students, including some who laughed and commented on her payment issues. We've talked about this before, like I said,
I can't remember if we talked
about it on the show or not. But
I don't think we did.
You know, so the kid's at the front of the lunch line. She has her meal, and through no fault of her own, her balance isn't enough to get the $2.25.
So she had the food in her tray, right?
Yeah.
And they took it back.
They took it back. Made her probably walk to the back of the line.
Probably threw it away.
Probably.
Because I can't imagine they gave it to anybody else. And they made her walk in the back of the line, and then gave her a peanut butter sandwich or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one thing to take the tray away, in my opinion. Okay, whatever. Even though I don't necessarily agree with it if you've already handed it to the kid. But
right.
They take it away, and then, instead of just giving her the alternative meal right there, they make her walk to the back of the line,
yeah,
past all these kids, just to get this peanut butter sandwich, so... You know, I've read a lot where a lot of school districts across the country are finding ways to just fund lunches across the board,
right,
to where they're free. And I don't necessarily, if you can make it happen, I think that's great. You know, even our local school here, our city school, they provide free lunches during the course of summer break and fall break and Christmas break and all,
yeah,
that, which is awesome for the kids that need it. So, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. I mean, parents, obviously you need to be responsible for your kids. But at the same time...
Well, we are all busy, and sometimes we just forget.
Sometimes we forget, and...
It's too bad. Why isn't there, like, a direct deposit kind of thing?
Well, like, our kids' school district, you can do it either way. You can send cash in with them, or you can do some... And my wife deals with it, so I've never even done it myself. But you can pay, like, the balance online, or you can put money into their account for something online.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah's kind of down on it because you can't keep track of the balance online. So,
oh,
you know, with us having, up until this year, we had 5 kids in the school district.
Right.
My oldest graduated last year. But, you know, obviously that's a lot to keep track of, especially when you have 5 kids going 5 different directions,
right,
every day of the week. And not everybody eats the same, especially when they get to the like I think the middle school, they can even get like an alternative. They don't have to buy the warm lunch. They can get a la carte type stuff. So
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
that's not your traditional $2.25. That's, you know, a buck here, a couple bucks there, whatever. So her biggest complaint with the online payment thing is you can't see what they're spending or what they need in their account or anything.
Right.
So it's a little bit flawed, but we kind of got off topic there, I guess, and the fact that, you know, it's not fair to this kid who obviously can't control how much money's in her account.
Right.
To hand her this tray of warm food and then taking it away from her. And then, to me, the kicker of it all is sending her to the back of the line just so she can get that alternative lunch.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And around here, maybe because it's a smaller school or it is a different time when my kids are going to school, but if they were behind, they just send me a note.
Right.
You owe something, but they still fed your kid. And then I just make that up.
And we see those notes too. If the balance gets low or whatever,
right?
We'll get the notes and we'll take
but,
care of it.
But I mean, we're all very busy now. Right. We're hardly ever is there a two parent home where one of them's home.
Yeah.
And she or he can concentrate just on the kids and stuff like that. It's hardly ever like that anymore. So you know, we're all going and. Four different directions, and you're trying to remember this, try to remember that. It's hard enough to remember to pay your mortgage and your utilities and insurance and put gas in the car and all the other stuff. So it does, but I too have mixed feelings about it because there's some people that will always take advantage of that. If the school just keeps providing lunches anyway, and even if the parents do have the money for it, right. Sometimes some of them, not all of them, some of them will take advantage.
And I remember, this has been a while back now, long before we ever started the show, there was a Good Samaritan or a parent or grandparent or something that actually went to pay off and or place money in kids' accounts in a school district. I don't remember where it was.
Oh, that's cool.
And the school actually turned them down, saying that the parents needed to be more responsible and take care of these things themselves.
Screw that.
So the school district turned down the money to make all these accounts right, which means the school is now in the hole, still in the hole.
Right.
Because they're holding some type of grudge, I guess, against these parents, which... You know, I understand that there's parents out there.
Well, so are peanut butter sandwiches free?
Yeah, that's what the peanut butter sandwich or peanut butter jelly, whatever it may be, is considered the alternative free lunch, as opposed to, you know, whatever the government meat is and the canned corn and stuff like that.
Right. So you can always get free peanut butter sandwiches.
Right.
Well, you hungry?
Yeah. Not for that.
No, I mean.
So anyway, well, let's go ahead and move on from that. But yeah, my heart kind of goes out to that kid because that.
That would be embarrassing for
him. Out of Delaware County, Ohio, Delaware County Sheriff's Office is investigating the allegations that a handful of Buttafuoco Hyatt Middle School students served a handful of teachers food tainted with urine and bodily fluid. The Sheriff's Office stated that the allegations potentially carry felonious assault charges for those involved. Investigators say last Thursday, students in the home economics class, Global Gourmet, were preparing, how do you say that,
crepes.
You're the baker. Crepes? Yeah. Creepy crepes? To serve some of their teachers, but one of the students allegedly tainted food with urine and a bodily fluid. Doesn't say what the bodily fluid is.
Well, if it wasn't urine,
before
think
feeding
I know.
It to the teachers. 14-year-old Mason Lambert knows what he thinks of this alleged school prank. I just think it's kind of gross. I don't even know why anybody would do that. Lambert went on to say that the school at the principal said today at school, the principal held an assembly to explain what happened and why those involved made horrible decisions. The teachers are all taking it very seriously. There's no joking around with it. Delaware County Sheriff's Office has launched an investigation and a thorough investigation into the incident, as some kids are seeing humorous. Some people still think it's funny. The school district isn't saying much, opting to instead email a written statement to NBC4, reading, "The safety and security of our students and staff is of utmost importance. The district leadership and local law enforcement are conducting a thorough investigation into this incident, and anyone found in violation of school policies will be held accountable for their actions. Also, they're also focusing on efforts to support the teachers impacted by this incident. The BCI is conducting DNA testing on the uneaten food that remained. No names have been released, and no charges have yet to been filed."
I wonder how they knew.
Yeah, I don't know. That's disgusting, though. And we've touched, was this last week or the week before, where we kind of went on about students that... we're out of control, you know, throwing things around and assaulting teachers. And,
right.
This is just more of that.
See, I don't know if that is. The body and fluids could have been spit, by the way.
Still disgusting.
It is disgusting.
And you know, if this kid has hepatitis or...
But
you know,
but if they don't, I mean...
But if they do...
I'm racking it up a stupid kid thing. I'm not as angry as you are.
So the teacher
shouldn't have eaten anything.
If some kid spit on or peed in your wife's coffee cup, you would be okay with that. That wouldn't make you angry.
It would make me angry, but I'm not.
Interesting.
I'm not, just because I'd be mad doesn't mean I want the kid thrown in jail for it or something. I mean, it wasn't to hurt anybody. They probably thought they were really funny.
They may not think it's too funny when they're locked up in juvie somewhere. So
probably not.
Last story of the day, Joe. It's been a long show today. We had a lot of news to cover. Forest Grove man stole his daughter's cookie sale money to pay for an erotic massage. Prosecutors say. Washington County Sheriff's Office, Forest Grove man stole $700 of his daughter's earned selling Girl Scout cookie money to finance an erotic massage. And then he staged a burglary at his home to cover up the theft. Brian David Couture was sentenced Monday to 18 months of probation and 80 hours of community service and restitution as part of his plea deal.
Restitution to his daughter?
I'm assuming probably to the Scouts. According to the Washington County's DA office, he was also hit with a $100 fine. Coulter initially told authorities someone had broken into his home in the 1,000 block of Wilhelmina Avenue and then assaulted him. According to the district attorney's office, officers found the home had been ransacked and saw blood strewn about. Coacher had injured himself, and the blood was almost certainly his, said Deputy District Attorney Thomas Pettifuco. Coacher's work laptop was also damaged, and about $700 was missing from a jar holding his daughter's cookie money. Investigators found inconsistencies in the story and challenged it. Coacher eventually told police that he stole the money himself to pay for the erotic massage and then faked the robbery when he realized he couldn't explain the missing funds. $700 erotic massage. That must be a hell of a massage.
I think that ended in a certain way, but
he must be a hell of a cookie salesperson too. I don't know if the average Girl Scout sells, but that's a lot of cookies.
A lot of cookies.
That's about $5 a box.
And then he hurt himself to get blood all over. He damaged his own computer.
Yeah.
Called the police. Ransacked his own house.
I hope the massage was good, buddy.
I hope it was. Well, and he only got probation for that.
A year and a half probation. He has to pay the $700 back. He got dinged with a $100 fine and 80 hours of community service.
Where did he go for this?
It doesn't say where he got the massage.
I live in a box, apparently. $700 for a massage. I mean, obviously we know where that massage led, but... His shoulders must have felt really good.
Okay.
I'm sure it's very relaxing. $700 relaxing.
You know, that kid in China probably could have used that massage to help his pee hole.
or the young man who was pooping pot.
Idiots galore this week, idiots galore. Not just these two sitting in front of you today. So. All right, well, we've kept you guys more than long enough.
Right now?
We have... the beautiful weather here in India. Just like the guy's feet are too big for I hope. We've had some serious technical difficulties. You may just be looking at a flat green screen. I don't know. So we'll see how it goes. We're going to get out of here. It's been a long day. long day. So we appreciate everybody watching with us, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. And I said I didn't like the way he got